My son, who was here, and daughter-in-law, who were here about 4 weeks ago, who did a two-service seminar on being married. Well, their second child, they were all into this, like going to these classes, Lamaze, and a coach, a trainer, and all this kind of stuff. And they were going to have a midwife, okay? A midwife. No drugs, nothing like that. It's going to be all natural. And the midwife's going to do all of this because this is how God intended for it to be, you know. And I don't know who came up with the idea that, you know, all of the family ought to be in the room when this is going on. But somewhere along the way, that happened. I mean, like all the family with people in there with video cameras. And I mean, it's like going to a press conference or something. And she's going to have a baby. And of course, I'm very uncomfortable with this. But I'm telling you, about 20 minutes into labor, where are the drugs? I've changed my mind, okay? And so out the window went the Lamaze and all that kind of stuff. She's looking for whatever is going to make this stop hurting because it was painful. And, of course, we say childbirth is the most pain that a human being can suffer. And because I can't have a child, I really have nothing to push back on that with, so I accept it. I mean, it's hard to say my tooth was more because, I mean, I don't know how you compare those two things. But in the middle of like, getting ready to have the child and starts contractions and, you know, you dilate and all this kind of stuff, she says, I don't like this. I'm wanting some drug, heavy drugs to make this stop hurting. And so they did. I mean, they were not like, too bad. You said the other. You're going through with this now. Pain is a terrible thing. But in most of our lives, we always think of it being something that is a period, is a time. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. Honestly, when I was sitting there in the dental chair and they were cracking that tooth out, the tooth didn't hurt, but pulling it out of the bone at the bottom was what hurt because there was no way to get that numb while you're awake. There was no way to get that numb. But I could feel that. I could feel it like cracking and pulling down in there, and it was terrible. But I kept thinking to myself, this is just going to be over in a minute. This is going to be over in a minute. I kept telling myself that. This is just going to be over in a minute. And sure enough, within 20, 25 minutes, the whole process was over. But I will never forget it as long as I live. Even though it was just that short period of time, that's how painful that it was. And then the subsequent pain that followed up, and they had to stitch up my mouth. Last Sunday when I was here, my mouth was, you didn't know this, but my mouth was all stitched up inside. That's why I only spoke 10 minutes. That's why I have 20 minutes worth of rollover minutes today. But that was why. Because it was so painful. And one of the things that we talk about when we talk about Lent, when we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we talk about pain. We talk about Jesus bearing the sins of the world. We talk about his physical suffering. And I do not know why it was that God said that in order for redemption to take place, that God had to become man in order for that to happen. Now I have some ideas and I have some theories. But they're not in Scripture, so they're just ideas and they're just theories. And unlike other preachers, I tell you that they're theories and they're ideas that I have. No, I'm not saying other preachers do that. But these are just ideas that I have. And I think one of the things is, particularly at the time of Christ, there was something that we call Gnosticism, and that was the belief that the physical body and that spiritual beings were separate, that they were not compatible, that they did not coexist, that there were these spirits in the world that moved about, that orchestrated things apart from them being connected to a human being. And we still have that today. People talk about things such things like karma, or no one today says that they're not religious. They say, I'm spiritual. See? I'm spiritual. I'm a very spiritual being. I hear that a lot. I'm a very spiritual being. And at this time in history, there was something called Gnosticism that believed that there was a spirit and that there was a human, or that there was a creature that was physical, but the physical could never be holy, and so it was not spiritual, it was only physical. That's what Gnostics believed. And so what God did was, he made God and he made man, and he said they are one and the same, and this is going to die for all the sins of humanity. And so today, just very briefly, we're going to look at what kind of physical suffering that Jesus went through. Now there's a couple of kinds that we don't often think about that are there, but I want to read these passages of scriptures to you about the humanity of Jesus. Then he took with him Peter and the son of Zebedee, and he began to tremble in distress and misery. And this is what he says, "My heart is nearly broken," he told them. "Stay here and keep watch." And then he walked a little way and fell on his face and prayed. Now listen to what he says. "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And you know, if I was just going to make scripture up, if I was just like going to make a holy book up, I would not put this passage in there. I mean to say, the God that became flesh goes back to the God that is still spirit and says, "I've changed my mind here. I've changed my mind." This is Jesus now. And the scripture says that when he's there with Peter and the sons of Zebedee, that he is so overwhelmed with what he visualized is going to take place, that he's trembling, that he knows how painful this is going to be. And so it says that he falls on his face and he says, "Oh God, if there's any other way that we can do this, let's go that way." This is a human being at this moment. And I don't think we often think of God in those terms. I think that we believe that Jesus triumphantly marches in to be crucified as if nothing else is going on. And the scripture tells us the opposite of that. And I'm going to tell you this. There are times in my walk and in my life as a believer that I walk in triumphantly. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anybody. And yet there are times that I am just scared to death. And I think to myself, whoa, what is this? Why am I doing this? I mean, honestly, I have thought all kinds of things in my life. Like, why am I a preacher? And you know how I say, what if we're just making all of this up because we don't have anything else to do? And Jesus says to God, "God, if there is any other way I can go, I want to go that way." I want you to see what he says. "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not what I want, but what you want." Only in one passage is it recorded that Jesus two times returns and falls on his face and says, "Please, God, please." Don't make me do this. When my daughter was 2 years old, you'd get these high trays in a restaurant. It has a little thing that go in the front. We were pushing her down, going through this buffet line, and that thing came off, and she fell, tumbled out, straight onto her head. And of course, being 2 years old, she's screaming, she's crying, and she's cut. And being new parents, I mean, we have her in the ER in just 10 minutes or so. And they said, we're going to have to do an X-ray on her. And we're going to have to strap her onto this board in order to do this X-ray on her. And we're going to strap her down in order for her to lay still so that we can take this picture to make sure there is not a concussion. But you cannot be in the room. And I can still remember this. This 2-year-old that was strapped to this board in what I know seemed like this monstrous CAT scan. She's just crying, and she's just screaming. She's just kicking, and she's 2 years old, and Joy and I are standing out in the hall as helpless as two human beings can be and still be doing the right thing. And I'm thinking to myself, if I could do that for her, if I could just make them stop, if I could just interrupt this, if I could just go in and say, okay, that's enough, we're not going to do... I had all of those feelings. And listen, God is watching Jesus, his kid, his son. He's saying, Dad, if there is any way I cannot have to drag a cross through the city of Jerusalem, if there is any way I can not be flogged 2 times, if there is any way I cannot be nailed to the cross, if there is any way that you cannot heap upon me all the sins of humanity, let's consider that option. Let's consider that option. And what is the answer that Jesus gets back? No. No. He doesn't even get a no. Can you hear me, God? He doesn't even get a no. There's no explanation. This is what's best. And you remember at the very beginning, we explained to you that this is how humanity was going to be redeemed. Don't you remember us talking about this? And so please go on. There's nothing. John chapter 19. After this, Jesus is realizing that everything was now complete and said, fulfilling what the scriptures say, I'm thirsty. This is a human being. This is God. In every way. In every way he can be God, and in every way he can be human. Thursday night at the Last Supper is the last occasion that there is something to drink. And now it's Friday afternoon. Jesus has been flogged, stretched across a stump, naked and whipped and whipped and whipped Jesus is taken to a place where I don't know, where there's pieces of lumber that are cross beams. He's told to pick one up. This bleeding man, this trembling man, reaches down and pick one up, and he begins to drag it through the city of Jerusalem. I walked the stations of Christ. It would be about as far as here to the soccer field at Roanoke College. That's about how far it would be. It is up high, and so the whole way he is dragging this cross. In Jerusalem this time of the year, it's about 85 or 90 degrees. And Jesus is bleeding. As he drags the cross towards Calvary, I'm sure he continues to sweat. And when he's finally there, he's stretched out on this railroad tied. The scripture says that they drove nails through his hand and they hung him from a cross. I was telling Joy this week. Crucifixion in the first century was one of the most cruel and barbaric things. People would bring their loved ones food on the cross, because sometimes they would stay there for days. Sometimes they would just be suspended there, just hanging there for 3 or 4 days before they died of exposure. Or Jesus is hanging on the cross. I don't know where he is looking, but he said, "I'm thirsty. I am thirsty." I don't know why there is a bucket of what we would call vinegar wine. Who knows? Maybe it was to wipe them off. I don't know. But the scripture says that they took a pole and stuck it into a sponge and dipped it in there. And they stuck this in his face. Stuck it towards his mouth, and when Jesus had taken it, he cried out, "It is finished." And his head fell forward, and he died. He humanly died. All the pain, all the suffering that you and I feel, the loneliness, the humiliation, to see his mother there, to see his friends there. Every human emotion, every physical feeling that one could feel, Jesus experiences. And he said, "I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty." And they grab a mop and they stick it in his face. His head slumps over. And it said he died for my sins, all of your sins, all of the sins that you've committed, that you will, that you have, they were redeemed in that moment because of his love. While Jesus was in the upper room preparing for the Last Supper, the tradition was that socially the lowest person there would wash the feet of other people. And the scripture says that Jesus took off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around him. He took a basin and poured water in it, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he came to Peter and said, "You're not going to wash my feet." He said, "Yes, I am, Peter." "No." "Yes, I am. I will wash yours, but you're not going to wash mine." And he said, "Peter, you don't understand all of this, but at some point you will. But right now, I'm just going to wash your feet." Because he said, in my kingdom, he says, those that are first, that are important, that are always revered, he said, they will be last. And he says, the servants, the maids, the housekeepers, the street cleaners, the children, he said, in my kingdom, he said, they will be first.